அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, எல்லாம் செயல்கூடும் என்னான எம்பலத்தே, எல்லாம் வெள்ளான் தனியே ஏத்து. திருவிளங்க சிவயோக சித்தியெல்லாம் விளங்க, சிவஞான நிலை விளங்க, சிவானுபவம் விளங்க, பெருவிளங்கு திருத்தில்லை திருச்சிற்றம்பலத்தே, திருக்கூத்து விளங்க, ஒளி சிறந்த திருவிளக்கே, உருவிளங்க உயிர் விளங்க, உணர்ச்சி எது விளங்க, உலகமெல்லாம் விளங்க, அருள் உதவு பெரும் தாயாம், மறுவிளங்கு குழல்வள்ளி, மகிழ்ந்தொரு பால் விளங்க, வயங்குமணி புது விளங்க, வளர்ந்த சிவக்கொழுந்தே, அன்பெனும் பிடியுள் அகப்படும் மலையே, அன்பெனும் குளிர் புகும் அரசே, அன்பெனும் வளைக்குட்படுவரும் பொருளே, அன்பெனும் கரத்தமர் அமுதே, அன்பெனும் கடத்துள் அடங்கிடும் கடலே, அன்பெனும் உயிர் குளிர் அறிவே, அன்பெனும் அணுவுள் அமைந்த பேரொழியே, அன்புருவாம் பரசிவம் திருச்சிதம்பரம். அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, எல்லா உயிர்களும் இன்புற்று வாழ்க, பொல்லாதரதம் குவளையம் எல்லாம் ஓங்குக. வள்ளலார் யூனிவர்சல் மிஷன் யூஎஸ்ஏ வெல்கம்ஸ் ஆல் சிஸ்டர்ஸ் அண்ட் பிரதர்ஸ் டு அவர் சண்டே ஈவென்ட் ஜான்வரி 24, 2008. ஹாவ் ஆர் ஸ்பெஷல் கெஸ்ட் டாக்டர் டில் ரகு, ப்ரொஃபசர் பிலாசபி காலேஜ் ஆஃப் சவுத் நெவாடா, Nevada State, USA, of Universal Mission and its members, we welcome Professor Dr. Til Raghu to our Sunday Satvicharam event. Vandanam, welcome. Now, Jaira Jaya to read Arutpa songs to start the event.
ஜோதி தனி பெருங்கருணை அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி வெல்கம் ஐயா டாக்டர் ரகு, ப்ரொஃபசர் ஆஃப் பிலாசபி காலேஜ் ஆஃப் சதர்ன் நெவாடா லாஸ் வேகாஸ் யூஎஸ்ஏ. டுடே வி ஆர் ஆல் அட் வள்ளலார் யூனிவர்சல் மிஷன் யூஎஸ்ஏ அண்ட் அதர் சன்மார்க்கீஸ் அண்ட் ஃப்ரெண்ட்ஸ் ஆல் ஓவர் த வேர்ல்ட் ஆர் ஹாப்பி டு ஹியர் யுவர் சன்மார்க்கம் ஸ்பீச் on Sutta Sanmarkam ethics. Once again, we welcome you, Ayya. Arutperum Jyoti, Arutperum Jyoti, Thaniperum Karunai, Arutperum Jyoti. Now, we will read Thiruvarutpa two poems on Thirukkadavam Thirakkal. Irandh irandhe yulaitthadellam poodum inda udambe yerkkai udambaga arul innamudam alittu en puram thaluvi அகம் புணர்ந்தே வளர்ந்து கொண்டாலும் பூரணமாம் சிவபோகம் பொங்கியிட விளைந்தேன். பிறந்திறந்து போய் கதிகை பெற நினைந்தேன். ஆந்த வேதையர்போல் என நினையே பெரிய திருக்கதவம் திறந்தருளி அணைந்திடுவாய் சிற்சவை வாழ் அரசே, சிகாமணியே என் திருநட நாயகனே. பொய்யுடையார் விளைகின்ற புணர்ச்சி விளைந்தேனோ, உண விளைந்தேனோ, வான் காண விளைந்தேனோ, மெய்யுடையாய் என்னுடன் நீ விளையாட விளைந்தேன். விளையாட்டென்பது ஞானம் விளையும் விளையாட்டே. கையுடைப்பாம் பனையரோடும் ஆடுகின்றோய், எனது பண்பறிந்தே நன்பு வைத்த பண்புடையோய் இன்னே. செய்யுடை என்னோடு கூடி ஆட எழுந்தருள்வாய், சித்த சிகாமணியே என் திரு நடநாயகனே. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி.
தேங்க்யூ ஜெயராஜையா. ஆர் டுடேஸ் டாபிக் இஸ் சுத்த சன்மார்க்கம் எதிக்ஸ். ஐ ரிக்வெஸ்ட் டாக்டர் டில் ரகு டு இன்ட்ரடியூஸ் ஹிம்செல்ஃப் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ டெலிவர் தி ஸ்பீச். தேங்க்யூ டாக்டர்.
எஸ் தேங்க்யூ. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை. My name is Til Raghu, and you've already mentioned that I'm a professor of philosophy here in the College of Southern Nevada. I mean, I spent many years in Canada, and although, you know, if, during my, I think, teens, teenage years, I was acquainted with the biography of Vallalar. I think it was S.P. Annamalai, if I'm correct, in Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan publication, Life of Ramalingam, or Ramalinga, Saint Ramalinga, I think. And then Vanmeeganathan, if I'm remembering the name correctly, Pathway to God, trod by Ramalinga Adigal. But I actually discovered the Aruparinjodhi Agarwal with Saravananda's commentary in Tamil at McMaster University Library in Canada, you know, when I was doing my master's there in the 80s. And I accidentally came across that. It seemed to be accidental, but I think it was all Vallalar's grace. And that's what really got me interested in Suttas and Margam. And, you know, from there off and on, I was interested in his writings. And then over the last few years now, the interest, again, due to Vallalar's grace, has intensified. And look, I've been maintaining a blog, Sutta Sanmargam, or Way of Pure and True Theism, can also be called the True Path of Harmony. Sutta Sanmargam actually is the True Path of Harmony, and published some posts and articles and so forth, and eventually I want to put them all together and publish a book. And Mr. Prasanna Sivasubramaniam has also indicated some interest in possible publication introducing Suttas and Margam. So hopefully by Vallalar's grace it will all materialize. In any case, I'm very happy to join you all, and I'm very happy to know that this mission, I had not, you know, before Mr. Sivasubramaniam, Prasanna Sivasubramaniam contacted me, I think several weeks ago, I was not even aware that there was this universal mission in the United States, and I think it's a great endeavor, and all credit goes to Mr. Prasanna Sivasubramaniam and all of you for organizing this and for continuing with this. I'm sorry that I could not join the earlier sessions, but hopefully I will be able to join the future sessions. In any case, appreciate all of your interest in the fact that you are you know, joining this session. So the topic is the ethics of Suttas and Margam, or Suttas and Margam ethics. And as we know, that is the first and the most important step in Suttas and Margam, the ethics. And what is this ethics? You all know that it is Jiva Karunya Vurukkam. So the Vurukkam, actually, that word contains more connotations than the English word ethics. So now we have ethics, study of right and wrong, and we have ethic, which is a particular type of, you know, morality. And that may also capture some element of Vurukkam. But Vurukkam is actually like almost like a way of living, not simply, you know, moral aspects. It's actually a way of living. And in Suttas and Margam, of course, we have the fourfold Vurukkam, Indriya Vurukkam, which is divided into Kanmendriya Vurukkam and Jnanendriya Vurukkam, and then we have Karana Vurukkam, and then Jiva Vurukkam, and Anma Vurukkam. And the Jiva Karunyam actually pertains to all of these. And so it is actually the foundation for all of the four Vurukkams that in Suttas and Margam we are supposed to steadfastly practice. And it is, you know, it's a lifelong process. You know, it can't be achieved, obviously, overnight or even in a few years. Keep practicing. Yeah, there will be failures, there will be mistakes, there will be regressions and so forth, but we have to pull ourselves up and keep the ideal in front of our consciousness and try to practice it more and more. So in any case, this Jiva Karunya Vurukkam is the first and the foremost step, as you all know, But it is actually the pathway to what Vallalar calls Sukta Sanmargatin Mukhya Lakshyam in the first Vinappam. And this Mukhya Lakshyam is, or ideal, is Anmaneya Urmaipadu. But to understand Jivakaranyam and how it is actually an expression of Anmaneya Urmaipadu and also leads to the full realization of Anmaneya Urmaipadu, we have to understand, of course, the concept of Anma. And Vallalar's concept of Anma is not the Vedantic concept of Atman. The Vedantic concept of Atman is of the self with capital S. It is not subject to any suffering and so forth, and it's beyond time and space and, you know, Satchidananda and so forth, existence, consciousness, bliss. That is not Vallalar's concept of Anma. The Vallalar's concept of Anma is, of course, delineated or outlined in the Jivakaranya Vurukam. Unfortunately, we only have the incomplete version of it. But it is very clearly explained by Vallalar. I mean, the one thing in Vallalar's writings is the clarity. Vallalar's intelligence is wonderfully expressed, wonderfully and clearly expressed in his great Tamil prose. In any case, with clarity, he has explained what Anma is. Anma is the principle of soul with the small s, individual soul, is the principle of intelligence and knowledge in the body. So we can examine the body and we can talk about the brain and the heart and all of these organs and their constituents. But as he says, it does not make any sense to attribute or intelligence to any of these parts, either taken by themselves or all together. So, for instance, you cannot say that the hand knows that there is pain. Hand has some reactions which you can measure in terms of electrical impulses and so forth when a needle is pressed. But the hand does not know that it is pain. So what is it in the body that recognizes that when the needle is pushed against the skin, that there is pain? Or when something sweet is put on the tongue, of course the tongue has its chemical reactions, but the tongue does not know that it is sweet or sour. So what is it in the body that knows that it is sweet or sour? And going beyond these sensations, what is it in the body that that knows that it is happy or that it is unhappy? That is the soul. That is Anma. That is the principle of intelligence and knowledge in the body. Now, it is clear that Vallalar views, and I think he is absolutely... you know, I mean, this is our common experience. So he's not really talking about anything from Mars or Moon or anything like that. This is all our common experience that we undergo. Sensations of pleasure and pain, we undergo experiences of joy and suffering. And we say, I am happy, I am unhappy. And there is also knowledge that we are happy or unhappy and so forth. This is all in the soul, because that is the principle of intelligence and knowledge in the body. So we have to start with that truth, that the individuals are souls, and of course you have Vallalar's classification of the seven forms of life. And the seven forms of life are, as he puts it in Jivakaranya Vurukam, Devar, Manidar, Naragar, Mirugam, பறவை ஊர்வன தாவரம். So we, of course, Devar and Naragara, as he himself says, are not accessible to humans. But at least we should feel, again, this is the greatness of Vallalar's ethics, at least we should feel that they will also undergo suffering and have compassion. But we are not in a position to do anything about the suffering of Devas and Naragars. So we focus on Manidhar, other fellow human beings, and the animals that Vallalar divides into three forms. Mirugam, animals, which is actually Nadappana, you know, Paravai, birds, and Urvana, insects, reptiles. And again, testifying to the profound range of Vallalar's ethical sense, Dhavaram, plants, trees, and so forth. Vadiya Pairai Kandabodhalam Vandinen, and so forth. Testifying again, he's not simply talking about it intellectually. He himself experienced all of these things. So, all these seven forms of life are basically souls, embodied, of course, in different forms. And then he says, actually, if veru vagaipatta alaviranda bedangaludaya. So that means each of these seven forms has innumerable variations. Obviously, we observe that, the diversity on earth. Innumerable forms of animals, innumerable forms of paravai, and innumerable forms of urvana, and innumerable forms of dhavaram. And, he implies that there are innumerable forms of devar and innumerable forms of naragar also. But anyway, our concern is with the five forms of life that are accessible to us, the humans and the mirugam, paravai, urvana, and dhavaram. So all of them are souls. And this takes us to the point that they are all souls and they all have an essential nature. Although the body, whether it is plant or tree or animal or bird or insect or human, is different. But the principle of intelligence is the same. So this is actually a very profound point, and again, we can simply talk about it, but we also, I think, have to make an effort to completely understand it at the mental or intellectual level, but also take it deeper than that. That is to say, we have to have that sense. So there was this famous German humanitarian, Albert Schweitzer, you know, who went to Africa. I think maybe he was Swiss. He went to Africa and he worked with the poor in Africa, and he wrote this book called Reverence for All Life. Or that was the message, you know. And that kind of reverence, even Gandhi also talked about that. That kind of reverence is what needs to be cultivated. It can come only when we begin to more and more feel. So it's not simply an idea that these five forms of life that are accessible to us all have the essential nature, despite the differences in their bodies and sense organs and so forth. So, you know, plants, orarivu, and so on. And the other forms have different endowments. And, of course, the human body, the human form of life it has the orarivu and is eminently suited for realizing the ultimate goal, you know, aruparanjodi, grace and arul and so forth. So it has a special position in Vallalar's view, the human body. But all of these five forms of life have a fundamentally same nature. And there's a fundamental equality because of the fact that in all of them, it is the same Anma with the same essential nature of intelligence. Arivu. So contemplating this, you know, when we read the Vinappams and, you know, Agaval and so forth, but this should also be part of our practice. This, which is actually there in Jiva Vartam and Anma Vartam. In fact, the Anma Vartam, as you know, Valalar says that Yanai Mudal Yerumbu Varai தோன்றிய சரீரங்களில் உள்ள ஆன்மாவே திருச்சபையாகவும் அதன் உள் ஒளியே பரியாகவும் யாதும் நீக்கமரக் கண்டு எவ்விடத்தும் வேதமற்று எல்லாம் தானாக நிற்றல் ஆன்ம ஒழுக்கம். அப்கோர்ஸ் தட் இஸ் த ஆன்மனே ஒருமைப்பாட்டு ஒருமைப்பாடு ரியலைசேஷன். பட் த ப்ரிப்பரேஷன் ஃபார் இட் இஸ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் அண்ட் ஐ திங்க் தேர் இஸ் அ சாலிட் சயின்டிஃபிக் பேசிஸ் ஃபார் திஸ். All life is one family. It is established by the science of genetics. We share our genetic material in various degrees with all of life. So that truth that the that all of these five forms of life are one family is confirmed by science. Pairbul karana parisigal parpala uirthiral wondrana uraitame sivame, something to that effect, you know. These bodily forms are different and their organs are different, but uirthiral is one. I mean, Valalar said this, you know, before, you know, probably around 1872 or something like that, which I suspect is the time when he composed Arpan Jyothi Agarwal to express his enlightenment. And by the way, I want to add, you know, so 1872, he has already realized the truth that the science of genetics confirmed in the 20th century after various, you know, studies and so forth. So this is a very, very profound fact. But by the way, I want to add here that, you know, Valalar's Siddhi, sometimes, you know, I think some email, I think your friend, Mr. Prasanna Karthigan had mentioned, Karthik, you know, Valalar's Siddhi Petronal. But January 30th, 1874 is not the Siddhi Petronal. Valalar's Siddhi already is in somewhere around 1872 or earlier than that. I mean, his progressive, the Siddhi was progressive, and it goes back, as he says in the Vinappams, to his youth and even childhood. You know, when he was early youth, when he was, you know, upstairs room in Chennai, had visions of Murugan, some versions of his biography say, in the mirror that he had requested from his brother, you know, who said, well, you know, we can't feed you if you don't go study. And, you know, that's also an interesting point, a very important point, undergoing the suffering of hunger there. You know, the brother, I don't know, I mean, seems to be an acceptable form of cruelty, especially to such a great child like Valalar. You know, was a model child in many ways. Anyway, that punishment of withholding food, which of course Valalar's sister-in-law overcame and used to feed him, you know, without knowledge of her husband. But in any case, when he asked for that, you know, mirror and lamp and so forth upstairs, realization already started then. And Valalar makes it very clear in the Vinappams that his spiritual progress was unfolding from then, and I think it reached its full consummation before he wrote the Agarwal. And as they say, he wrote it in one night, and if you look at the manuscript, there's hardly any error. I mean, there's one or two places you can see that he has put a letter or something above a letter that may have not been written legibly. But there's no really no correction, and this is extraordinary. Even Sri Aurobindo, the great composer of Savitri, which is also a very, you know, great spiritual epic, worked on it and made revision after revision right towards the end of his life, 1950. Many several drafts and versions were made by Sri Aurobindo, but Vallala never made any revisions. It all came pouring down. And simply as a feat of poetry itself, it's quite an unparalleled achievement. I can't think of any other case like that. But in any case, so, you know, when we speak about Vallala's Siddhi and all that, we have to understand that it's something that was progressing right from his early youth and culminated before he wrote the Aruppirunjyoti Agalo. Already attained the Siddhi. So January 30th is a different matter. Siddhi was already there. Of course, to indicate it, I think he raised the flag of Suddha Sanmargam, which again is a spiritual symbolism, the yellow and white. But that's just a symbol, a symbolic act. His realization already goes back, as I've said a few times, before he composed Aruppirunjyoti Agalo. And Aruppirunjyoti Agalo testifies to Vallala's attainment of Siddhi. In any case, you know, back to this Jivakaranyam, you know, it's the first and the foremost step. It is based on this realization of the presence of the soul as the principle of intelligence and knowledge in all the five forms of life and all their variations. It is the common principle. And that takes us to the realization of soul kinship. S-O-U-L hyphenated kinship. So we are speaking about one family, as it were. And that's difficult to realize. I mean, it has to be achieved progressively. And we have to, of course, pray for Aruppirunjyoti Vallala's grace. I mean, there is no difference, actually, between Vallala's consciousness and Aruppirunjyoti. So we can actually even say Vallalar hyphenated Aruppirunjyoti or Aruppirunjyoti hyphenated Vallalar. So have to pray for grace realize this. Because when you step out into the world, we see the diversity. And we see all kinds of oppositions. But that's also, Vallalar covers it. And, you know, maybe this can be a topic for some other discussion. You know, pagayinil uravu, uravinil pagay, and so forth. You know, this is all part of Aruppirunjyoti's arul. But we get confused by the oppositions and by the differences. You know, if you look at a crow, paravai is completely different from a human being. But if you examine very carefully, again, this is where Vallalar's approach includes science, but it goes beyond science as we know it today, but it includes science. You know, lack of similarities are there, even at the physiological level. And in terms of response, because the same intelligence is there in all life. So that's why we find a lot of common features, and the focus has to be on these common features, and we shouldn't get confused by the differences. So if you take the human family, of course, there seem to be some differences in terms of what is so-called race. So you have different complexions of skin and all that stuff. But we know that all human beings evolved from Africa. Now, evolution, again, is something that is affirmed by Vallalar. The key word in Aruppirunjyoti Agalo, hello, can everyone hear me? I hope I've not lost the connection. Hello?
Yes, sir, we could hear you. We are back.
Okay. Because sometimes this phone, it's a voice over internet, and, you know, hopefully it's by Vallalar's grace it continues. But, you know, for instance, one of the key words in Agalo is Thiruttal. Arulinil Arulinit Thiruttum Aruppirunjyoti. Thiruttal actually is development. Okay, so like for instance, you are developing something. Maybe you start a project and you develop it. You make additions and subtractions and you improve it. That is Tiruttal. That's evolution. But there's one difference, of course, between Tiruttal and evolution. In the Darwinian conception of evolution, it's a random events happen. You know, there are some mutations and they just say it happened accidentally and so forth. That is not part of the concept of Tiruttal. Tiruttal is development. That means there is a pattern, there is a goal to be achieved, and all the changes and all the changes go through stages. And each successive stage is higher than the previous stage and it reaches the goal. That is the action of Arup Perinjodi, to bring about development. And so what is called evolution is actually Arup Perinjodi's act of Tiruttal. And of course, we with our little minds, we can only comprehend a little bit of this and a little bit of that here and there. But evolutionary science definitely, again, is something we have to study. In addition to physics, cosmology, as Vallalar made it very clear in his last discourse, Perupadesam, which I have pointed out to Mr. Sivasubramaniam, seems to contain some elements that I don't think Vallalar would have said. There's some very obscure or very confusing statements about Tolkapiyam and all that, and there are some confusing statements about Tirai in the Perupadesam, which could not have come from Vallalar, but I think it does record some statements of Vallalar quite accurately, because they are consistent with, these statements are consistent with the Vinappam's and Arup Perinjodi Agavo. But in Perupadesam, he makes very clear that in Suttasan Margam, we have to inquire into, as he puts it, under Vicharam, cosmology, you know, where do these stars come from, planets and galaxies and so forth, science of cosmology, and Pinda Vicharam, which is biology. So, as practitioners of Suttasan Margam, we have to examine science of cosmology and science of biology. And we will find, when we look at the science of biology, we will discover the truth of soul kinship. The fact that all of these forms of life are one family. Biologically, of course, they are looking at it simply in terms of biological or genetic aspect, but we are, of course, looking at the inner aspect, the spiritual aspect, which, of course, is manifested in the biological realm. I mean, the spiritual truth does not exist in some vacuum or somewhere up in the clouds. It is expressed here, and it is expressed in biology. And that's why biology, you know, genetics have said all life is one family. And we're looking at it from the spiritual aspect in terms of Vallalar's teachings. And the spiritual aspect is this, that the biological truth of kinship, unity of all life, is simply a reflection of the spiritual truth that it is the same principle of intelligence, knowledge, anma, that is present in all of these bodies. So anyway, back to the cultivation of this, contemplation, meditation, whatever you want to call it, of this truth of soul kinship. And I was saying, yeah, when we step out, we get confused by the diversity. And one way is to simply deny the diversity and say it's all Maya and so forth. And of course, Maya used in the Vedantic sense, not in the Saiva Siddhanta sense of primal matter. As you know, in Saiva Siddhanta, which Vallalar was profoundly familiar with, although he went beyond it, Maya is matter, primordial matter, from which the universe developed by the grace of Arup Perinjodi. But in the Vedantic sense, the illusion and all that kind of stuff, or dream and all that, they want to deny this diversity. But in Suttasan Margam, we don't deny this diversity. Vallalar accepts the diversity. That is why he praises Arup Perinjodi's, incomprehensible grace in creating so many forms. Overa, Eruvage, ceaselessly bringing about these seven forms of life with all the variations. We accept this diversity. It is a reality. It is the product of Arul Perinjori's grace, the workings of grace, Arul, which again is a very profound concept in Vallalar, you know. Again, goes beyond Saiva Siddhanta, although it contains some elements of it. And of course, as you know, Manika Vasagar also used the concept, but Vallalar, I think, extended it. In any case, yes, we accept this diversity. We don't get, just try to escape from it and say, oh, it's all illusion and there is only one Brahman and so forth. We accept it, but we also see the unity in the diversity. That's what will prevent us, prevent our minds from getting confused, and then getting caught up in attraction and the repulsion. Which, of course, as you know, in, Karana Vurkam, you know, Ragadi, you know, we have to go beyond attraction and repulsion and achieve sattva or harmony. So we don't get confused. We realize that there is one soul principle. It's manifesting, manifested in all of these different forms of life. And what is the attitude then that we have to take on this basis? Well, that is where compassion comes in. Since that soul principle is there in the body, not, you know, Atman beyond space and time and has no experience of body and all that kind of stuff, you know. Vallala simply rejects all that Vedantic stuff in a few sentences in Jivakarnya Vurkam. What is it that suffers in the body? What is it that enjoys in the body? That is Anma. So it's not beyond space and time and all that kind of stuff. It is here in the body. And since we know that this Anma principle undergoes pain and pleasure and joy and suffering and so forth in various forms based on the body, structure of the body, we practice compassion. We start with, we can say, the negative principle of compassion, which is do not inflict harm or suffering. You know, you have to take extreme care not to inflict any harm or suffering on living beings. So there's no need to destroy, crush plants and so forth. You know, it's not necessary to do so. We try to do this to the extent we can. Sometimes people will set up this kind of false opposition. Either you have to do it perfectly or you don't have to do it at all. No, no. Those are not the only two options. The various other mediums or means in between. I try to do as much as I can and I try to develop my consciousness so that I avoid unnecessary destruction harm or suffering to other living beings, including other human beings. So that's there. Just because I can't do it perfectly doesn't mean I have to completely neglect it. You know, I try to practice it to the extent that I can, based on my knowledge and capacity, which Vallalar says in Jivakarnya Vurkam. You know, we know that another jivan is about to undergo suffering or is suffering, and we have the means either to prevent it or to reduce it or to remove it, we do it. Sometimes we may know, but we may not have the means, which, well, I think it's kind of unlikely, but maybe there are cases like that. In that case, at least we think about that jivan suffering and we pray to Arul Perinjori that that jivan suffering may be removed. But to the extent that we can, we do whatever we can, you know. And then, of course, if we don't know, and we can't do anything about it. And that's also an important point. We have to try and acquire knowledge of the sufferings of beings. So this means becoming aware of what is going on in the world, which is the reason why Tholuvoor Velayudham Mudaliyar says that Vallalar always had a sad expression in his face. You know, that's not a personal, he's not, there's nothing personal there. I mean, he's not about anything to do with his life. He already achieved the greatest goal of realizing Aruparanjyothi and Aruparanjyothi's grace by Aruparanjyothi's grace. It's not personal, but the sorrow is about the suffering of Jivargal in the world. That's what the sadness in his face is all about. It doesn't mean we also have to walk around with that kind of sad expression and imitate that, but at least we try to become aware of what is going on. So we try to understand what's going on in any society that we are living in. United States, millions of people are living in poverty. There's all kinds of gun violence going on and so forth. And the United States, the government is creating immense suffering in other countries by bombings and so forth, Middle East, you know, Syria, Iraq. And hopefully we're not going to come to some catastrophic conflict in North Korea. Millions of people, you know, I mean, imagine somebody like the president of the United States saying irresponsibly he's going to destroy North Korea. What do you mean? I mean, almost 25 million people there. You're going to kill all of them, burn all of them to death with nuclear bombs? Learned anything from Hiroshima and Nagasaki? See, so becoming aware of all of these things, so these would be the social, political aspects of Sudarshan Margam, which again are rooted in the ethics. So we have to expand our knowledge of the sufferings that the Jivargal are undergoing, including plants and animals, you know. Mr. Sivasubramaniam mentioned a Sanmargam advocate, Sanmargam practitioner in Salem. I don't remember his name. What is his name, Mr. Sivasubramaniam? You mentioned somebody who speaks. And I've seen someone on YouTube, I can't recollect the name, but he also mentions this book that is called The Sixth Extinction. So The Sixth Extinction really documents the extinction of species as a result of human destruction of the environment. So all these precious forms out of human ignorance are being almost obliterated or on the verge of extinction. All these things we have to become aware of, you know, and this is again part of the greatness of Vallalar's path. I mean, let us remember this path was disclosed to Vallalar by Aruparanjyothi. Obviously, it has to be something that has elements of greatness in it, which is, you know, I mean, they may be present in some basic form in some other paths. But it all comes together in a great unity in Sudarshan Margam. So we expand our awareness, our knowledge of all the sufferings that Jivargal are undergoing, these five forms. So that means we become aware of the environmental destruction, you know, Amazon rainforest and so forth. Orarivul Jivargal, you know, plants and trees. And that has an effect. I mean, this is the law of karma, right? And that is also affirmed by Vallalar and Jivakarnya Vurkum. So I said we should start with the negative principle, do not inflict harm, suffering, or try to the best of our knowledge and ability, not inflict harm or suffering on other living beings. And what will happen if you do? Well, that is given by the law of karma. You will undergo suffering. In this life or at some point in accordance with Vallalar says Arul Niyadi, you know. And the other thing is the positive principle. Not only do we just simply say, I'm not going to harm or I'm not going to inflict any suffering, but we actually try to, when we get to know that there is going to be suffering or there is suffering, to the best of our ability. Of course, we can only do what is within the means that we have. We try to alleviate, contribute to the alleviation. So, you know, there are children in Syria that are, you know, starving, and there is an international organization that is helping them. We contribute. And this is where I think this Vallalar universal mission is such a wonderful idea. And I hope Mr. Sivasubramaniam and all of you, you know, will expand its scope. slowly to implement all of these things that are part of Vallalar's ethics. So again, Jiva Karanyam then is a negative principle, do not inflict harm or suffering to the best of your knowledge and ability. And then either prevent or alleviate, treat, reduce suffering when you see it to the best of your ability. So I think that basically sums up, Jiva Karanya Varukam, with one emphasis that, of course, there are different kinds of sufferings. So we are not in a position to address all of them. That's why Vallalar has said, Pasi and Kolai, you know, these are the two great sufferings that all Anmas undergo, you know, starvation and getting killed, murdered, you know. And we have to try and do, as he says, by whatever means that we have to stop or to alleviate these things. It can take various forms. I mean, you say, let's you join a protest against U.S. bombings in some other country, and that's also some contribution you're making. Maybe you're writing about it, you know, informing people that this is what's going on. The bodies that Vallalar says are like little houses created or brought about by Aruparanjodi, you know, they are being blasted, you know, by these bombings and so forth. And certainly we have to protest if we have any kind of Anmane Orumipad, you know. They are not destroyed, but they are undergoing that horrible suffering. Which, as Vallalar says, even in when he was 31 in Manumurai Kandavasagam, that's common to humans and other forms of life. The suffering of death, especially by murder, when the anma is forcibly expelled from the body and it comes out of the body, as Vallalar describes quite vividly in a section of Manumurai Kandavasagam, it comes out of the body confused and puzzled as to what has happened. That is a very terrible form of suffering. And then it has to be born again, which is another form of suffering. So that's why murder, kolai, is so bad. And it is one of the worst crimes in Sutta Sanmargam ethics. Because you're forcibly expelling the soul and subjecting it to the suffering of dying and the suffering of subsequent birth. And then, of course, pasi, as you all know, I mean, Vallalar says there's no suffering like that. In fact, he says that marana vedanai and, the vedanai of pirappu are all experienced in pasi. So that should be the main focus. And again, I hope with Vallalar's grace, Vallalar's universal mission can do more in organizing efforts. And I will try to contribute, my time, whatever I can, to the best of my ability when I'm informed about these activities to do what it can to, I guess we can start with Tamil Nadu and do something about, hunger. Problem of hunger, you know. Now there is a problem now with, again, global warming and everything else. Many rivers are drying up in Tamil Nadu. And I remember I was in Tamil Nadu in August 2017, and I was fortunate to have the Jodi Darsanam in Vadalur. But I was also in Trichy and so forth, and Madurai, and the Kaveri is, completely, I mean, there's some areas, parts in Trichy where there's really nothing there. And Dindukal also, I think there's, people have pointed out, things are all drying up, riverbeds are drying up, so there's a water problem, which is going to create, of course, the problem of thirst, which is part of this problem of pasi, pasi and dagam, And if a universal mission can extend its scope and join with other organizations and so forth to deal with this problem of hunger, thirst, that I think will be wonderful. I'm sure it will have Vallalar's complete blessings. So back to again this Jiva Karanyam, I think I've captured some aspects of it, but where is it going? So we are developing compassion by studying science, by studying what is going on in the world, and of course it all includes study of some solutions also. We can't simply say, yes, there are jivargal who are suffering from hunger, and not try to find out the correct solutions. And then if we pray to Arupar and Jyoti, the correct solutions will come. They will come because of the motivation. Motivation is compassion. So as Valalar says, that's like lighting the big fire, of Arul, the small flame of compassion. That's why he says that's the only thing that's essential. Jivakaranyam is the only essential thing to receive the arul that will bring about all of these other, realizations and transformations. The Jiva Karanyam, again, you develop it, and at some point it will become full-fledged realization of Anmaneya Urmipar. So that's the goal, as Valalar has indicated in Vinappam. The Mukhya Lakshyam is Anmaneya Urmipar. Which is explained, of course, as I read those sentences from the description of Anma Vurukam. And as you know, that Vallalar actually had all of this, printed on paper and posted, actually, in the Satya Dharma Sali, the Jiva Vurukam, Karana Vurukam, Karana Vurukam, Indriya Vurukam, Karana Vurukam, Jiva Vurukam, and Anma Vurukam. So the Jiva Vurukam and Anma Vurukam, both of them express this ideal of Anmaneya Urmipadu. And that's what we are trying to realize when we practice Jiva Karanya Vurukam. Now, there are some questions, some objections can be made. I'm sure you have some questions, but I think I was discussing with Mr. Sivasubramaniam on the phone at one point. People will say, for instance, how do you deal with, wild animals, lion or tiger or something, or karadi or whatever is going to attack you? How do you practice Jiva Karanya Vurukam? Well, Vallalar was aware of all of this. As you know, the incomplete Jiva Karanya Vurukam is in Q&A format. And he points out that it is permissible to create fear, the suffering of fear. Fear also is a form of suffering. And we should not needlessly inflict it on any other living being, including human beings. We should not create fear and terror in the minds of other humans, particularly the good people. As Valalar says in Manumurai Kanda Vasagam, he prohibits creating fear and terror in the minds of good people. But in any case, in Jiva Karanya Vurukam, he says that you can create fear in the minds of wild animals. So that means, maybe you have a gun or something, and you can point it to the sky and you can, fire, if that's one way to scare it. And maybe other ways to scare it. Maybe you shoot, if necessary, near that animal, not at it, but near it, to frighten it away. Various means, I'm just giving that as an example. So it's and the same thing with other human beings too. I mean, if they're coming to harm you, you can try ways to, you have to take recourse to creating fear in order to prevent them from creating any of these severe harms or sufferings on others. So it does allow, Jiva Karanyam does allow for the use of force to create fear. And in some extreme cases, you can use, unavoidable. Of course, that's the key word, underlined many times. If it's unavoidable, then you can even cause some, injury that's not life-threatening. So the basic thing you want to avoid is, of course, kolai. But in unavoidable cases, you may have to even cause some kind of non-fatal, non-life-threatening injury in order to protect someone from being killed or tortured and so forth. So all that is allowed for by Jiva Karanyam. And of course, the question of insects and all that, well, you know, I was mentioning again to Mr. Sivasubramaniam, the great Tamil movie, Ratha Kanneer, you know, with Emma Radha. At one point, one scene I can remember, I haven't seen it now in quite a while. I think I saw it on YouTube a few years ago. It's a great movie, by the way, you know, all this attention of a foreign returned, and then he mistreats everybody, and then he suffers karma, you see. You know, goes to prostitutes and all that, and then he suffers the results. But at one point, he's outside somebody's house, and there's some conversation, and the owner of the house, the resident, mentions Jeeva Karunyam. And then Emma Radha sarcastically asks, so what do you do with the insects? Are you practicing Jeeva Karunyam? Well, that's a question. So what do you do with the insects? Well, I was mentioning to Mr. Sivasubramaniam, we can use insect repellent. And where possible, we can remove the insects outside the abode. The ways of trapping the insects without killing them, and then you remove them. You take it outside and leave them. You know, I do that often with cockroaches. Thankfully, not many. Or very few, occasionally, especially in the summertime, you know, I'll see. And then I just put a small cloth over them, and I take them outside, you know. And they go away. And strangely enough, they've stopped coming, you know. Occasionally, one or two, of course, come through the bathroom sink or something like that, you know, under the, you know, in the pipes. In any case, You can act in that way. It's not you don't have to immediately crush them, you know, which is the common response. Yeah, you just see something and immediately crush it. Can we create something like that? I mean, even a mosquito, you know, can we create? No, we can't. Even a mosquito, again, this is proof of Vallalar's point that there's that the principle of intelligence, arivu, anma. Even in a mosquito, you know, even in an insect, you see even an ant, how wonderfully it navigates. And nobody knows. Even science has not been able to figure out how the ant, I mean, doesn't really have any brain, you know, to speak of. How is it able to navigate and get around? One of the profound marvels, you know. So that type of marvel created by Aruparanjodhi, of course, through evolution. We can't just simply crush it like that, you know. I mean, that is not Jeeva Karunyam Urukam. But we try to do what we can, you know, remove it, and then we can use repellents, as I was mentioning to Mr. Sivasubramaniam. You can use repellents, mosquito repellent, insect repellent, which will keep them away. See, so when they sense it, they won't come there. So now you're not killing them, you're warding them off. Remember that the insects actually now, I mean, all these environmental studies are showing insect population is decreasing, and that's going to pose a severe danger to crops and so forth. Ecosystem insects play a very important role. You know, that's why all these five forms of life are one family. So you can't simply say that's only an insect and so forth. You know, as I said, can we create one? We can't. We don't even understand how an ant navigates, you know, gets around. So that doesn't mean we have to allow all these kosukal to come and feed on our bodies and suck blood. We can use repellents and we can drive them away, and we can take various precautions. I mean, there's plenty of technology available to prevent them. You know, mosquito mesh, prevention mesh and nets and all that. So you don't have to deal with them. So Jeeva Karunyam doesn't mean, as Emma Radha seems to have misunderstood, that you allow Kosu and all of them to come and feed on your body or to get inside your body, you know. No, you keep them away, you know. And there we have the means to do that. Instead of simply, you know, destroying them mindlessly, you know. So this message of Jeeva Karunyam, I think, is the most urgent message today, you know, because of the destruction that's going on. And that, I think, is what I wanted to talk about. I mean, so essentially the point is the ethics really is based on his concept of soul and soul kinship in all these five forms of life that we have access to. As I said, we don't have access to Naragara and Deva, but as he says, we can actually think you know, in our contemplation, they will also suffer, and that their sufferings should be taken care of. So the compassion towards these five forms of life by practicing the positive principle of helping, and then negative principle of avoiding inflicting suffering, and then using that to slowly attain Anmaneya Urmi Patu realization, which is soul kinship. And I think that is sufficient to work in one life or maybe several lifetimes. So I'd like to conclude with that point. And I know that I've only scratched the surface, but can do more in a limited session like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. It was an excellent speech. But we do want to continue with some questions, if it is okay. I will have a quick question and answer session.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So before going to the question and answer session, you know, I want to read a quick disclaimer to everyone. Disclaimer.
Yes.
Vallalar Universal Mission is headed by through Arul Prakash of Vallalar, and the organization is open to one and all. There is no discrimination due to caste, religion, philosophy, race, color, language, age, sex, or any other differences. This organization will follow the principles of Vallalar and considers them as fundamental and the greatest of all. Thus, it can be considered as Sutta Sanmarga Satya Sangam. We request all our guest speakers to stick to the principles in their speeches. One must be aware that opinion of the speaker is not necessarily the opinion of Vallalar Universal Mission. All the speakers are free to deliver their messages and opinions. Also, the listeners and participants are free to support or not the speaker's opinion. However, everyone must refrain themselves from hurtful words and show love and respect to each other during their discussion. This message is read on behalf of Vallalar Universal Mission. Thank you. Sir, I want to start with the first question. Prasanna here. So, you mentioned that, you know, life cannot be created, but what is the difference between creating a life and the other process such as clothing, where people are able to, you know, create life by, you know, not by a natural way, but through cloning and other process. Does it have the divine, you know, it also has a life, and, you know, it surveys, maybe we are not the human, the humans are not truly to make it survive for a long time, but there are goats and other animals which have survived for a while. Is it not something blessed by the divine, or how do we differentiate between a natural birth process and things like cloning?
Well, there is actually no case of cloning. Animal, you know, genetic experiments and so forth, it's already based on existing form of life, and they're just manipulating at the level of genetics. So that is, of course, I mean, humans have created, for instance, breeds of dogs. But when we say created, we've just simply improvised, basically, on existing species and intermixture and so forth, and creating new breeds of dogs or new crops and so forth. So, and now, of course, it's taking some potential, well, some dangerous turns in terms of GMO, you know, genetic modification and so forth, which can have serious negative effects. So we have to be careful about that. But, you know, this is, again, part of the, you know, the notion of Siddhi, you know. Vallalar actually said that all kinds of Siddhis will be manifested as a result of Aruparinjodhi's manifestation. Aruparinjodhi, of course, is everywhere in Puranam form, you know, complete. But then in Satyanyana Sabai, there is a special manifestation of Aruparinjodhi, or an indication of that special manifestation, as Vallalar says in the India shows in the Vinappam. And he says all kinds of siddhis will come. Now, siddhi can be has been misunderstood. It's not producing, like allegedly by Satya Sai Baba, you know, producing some ring out of nothing and so forth. That is not what we're talking about. Siddhi, whether it's Adinilai, Nadunilai, or Mudinilai, is something that has a process. It's basically some achievement of knowledge, some achievement of action, and so on and so forth. And all these achievements have some processes. So what we are seeing are some manifestations of these siddhis, you know, in human consciousness. And the human consciousness is able to manipulate based on what is already there. And of course, as I said, some of these forms of manipulation can be very dangerous because of the imperfect knowledge. We don't know what kind of negative effects it may have. So I think that's where we have to be careful not to interfere. But in some cases, when the interference is positive, I mean, if they can deal with diseases and so forth, you know, on the basis of this kind of genetic manipulation, then it's okay. They have, of course, I mean, science knows what it's doing here. But I would say your question is it something blessed by the divine? I mean, as long as it's not contrary to Jiva Karanya Workam, it is okay. That is, as long as it's not going to be used for kolai and torture and for hunger and so on, spreading hunger and so forth. Like, for instance, they can, they can destroy crops with this kind of knowledge. You know, already there are plenty of, biological weapons and so forth, chemical weapons the United States used in Vietnam to destroy crops. You know, that kind of thing, of course, is completely prohibited by Sutta Sanmargam because complete violation of Jiva Karanyam. And as long as it's consistent with Jiva Karanyam and it's actually going to serve Jiva Karanyam, then it's okay. But it's acting on what is already there in nature, you know. I mean, obviously, the human mind is very limited still, you know. And this is where, you know, I think the point that Vallalar is making is that, you know, yes, science is a form of inquiry that we undertake in Sutta Sanmargam, but we are looking beyond science. We are looking beyond science to Arut Perinjodi to guide us. We're not just simply relying on our own, the methods that our reason, but all that, of course, ultimately is all because of the grace of Arut Perinjodi and, of course, the Per Arul work of Telivittal, right? Telivittal. So the five great activities, one of them is Telivisaidal. And, of course, there are the beings, Godheads, Talaivargal, Telivisai Talaivargal. And they are bringing about this illumination, you know, in the human consciousness. And it's a manifestation of that. That's why you see it's very interesting after the special manifestation of Arut Perinjodi in Satyajnana Sabai. There's been an explosion of scientific knowledge. And Vallalar said this. You know, all kinds of siddhis you will see. But we have to understand that correctly. That doesn't mean that he's not talking about thousands of Satya Sai Babas running around and producing rings out of nothing, allegedly. What he is talking about is the explosion of knowledge, which comes as a result of effort and understanding. Siddhi means accomplishment. Accomplishments cannot be created out of nothing. They involve hard work. They involve processes. But what we are seeing, of course, is this, you know, all kinds of siddhis manifested in science and technology after, 1872. There's been an enormous explosion, you know. And I personally take it as, confirmation of what Vallalar was talking about. But then, of course, these are all, ultimately, these are all very superficial. And the great siddhis are waiting for us after we achieve Anmaneya Urubipar. The greatest, of course, being the Tridega Siddhi. But that is, of course, the highest level, you know. It comes only after we achieve Anmaneya Urubipar. That is the super science of deathlessness. you know. Of course, you have some attempts even in science, right, to extend longevity, you know, cure diseases. All of that is part of Sudarshan Margam. And that's what distinguishes Sudarshan Margam from all of these. Well, Indian, as you know, Indian tradition has never had any hostility towards science, like, for instance, you have in Christian fundamentalism and Islamic fundamentalism and so forth. But in Sudarshan Margam, science is included. Science is part of the vicharam in Sudarshan Margam. But anyway, I don't want to go on and on. But all of I would say is, yeah, if it's not contrary to Jiva Karanyam, it's fine. You know, but we are working on what's already given in nature as a result of the arul of Aruparanjodhi. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes, definitely. I think you answered it. Definitely, you answered it. I think you know, even though Vallala actually said during his time there are 84 lakh species, and I think as you said, right, even a new creation is not just a human possibility, unless it is blessed divinely, is not going to come out something with that. So I take those words. And the second question I had is, you mentioned in Jiva Karunyam that it is the senses, it's not the senses that actually have the suffering or the pleasure in a human body or as a human being. So if we take the same way, right, you know, all the senses through all the, from the skin, eyes, nose, ears, on, and it all connects to the brain, which is more like a central processing unit. And if we compare it with a computer, even with a supercomputer, it's still not equal to the brain. But let's, for example, take it, right? If, which is happening within our body, and again, there is an Anma. So what the interface between these two, this physical matter, whichever, you know, we have, and I'm not sure, basically, there is an Anma, and there is all these physical senses and, you know, central processing of this brain and so on. How do you think, like, it may be integrated? And what kind of space could it have? Any thoughts about?
Yeah, you were kind of breaking up there. Now, you mentioned 84 lakhs and so forth, but remember the categories. Basically, you know, Leva, Deva, and Naraga. These are extraterrestrial, supraterrestrial beings, and subterrestrial in the case of Naraga. But the five categories, and I, you know, that's something I'm looking into. That's something that needs to be really explored in the context of biology and classification of species. There is a classification there that Vallalar gives, Urvana, Parapana, Narapana, you know, and so forth. And so these 84, whatever you mentioned, they all fall under the categories. And Vallalar, of course, has said they have innumerable variations, you see. So Urvana doesn't mean just one particular type. I mean, they're innumerable, he says. Alavaranda Bedangal, you know, innumerable variations. Which is, again, very, you know, it's all very... you know, I mean, that's all captured later in genetics with all this notion of variation and so forth. Vallalar has already pointed that out, which is, again, remarkable. Let us remember, again, that Vallalar did not have any formal education. And so it's, I think, a testimony to the depth of his spiritual realization and knowledge that he was able to give all these insights far in advance of... scientific discoveries in the 20th century. But anyway, your question about the... I think you're asking about brain-soul relationship.
Exactly. Yes, that's
yeah.
Right.
I mean, even on the brain, let us remember that the Vinnappam really, I mean, this is... you know, it requires a lot of study. And I'm, as I said, only scratching the surface. The description of the human body and all its constituents is given in the second Vinnappam. And even for the brain, he makes this very interesting distinction between Ongara Mule and Angara Mule. That itself can be a subject of study for a lifetime, you know, Ongara Mule and Angara Mule. But in any case, Degam is basically a karuvi, as we say. It's an instrument. So That's why all of his letters to Irukkam Ratnam and so forth end with advice to take care of the body very carefully. And as we know, Sutta Sarmargam includes this. This is a central emphasis, caring for the body. And not like, you know, some kind of neurotic thing, you know, like, as you would care for your horse if that's your only instrument of travel. So you have to feed the horse well and maintain it well so that you can travel, you know. So it's the same way with the body. Body has to be cared for and maintained because it's the karvi. First of all, it's also like a house that has been built. So we are tenants, you know. Kadavul arulal katti kodukkapatta veedu. So we have to take care of it. We are tenants in the body. The body has been built by the grace of Aruparanjodhi, so we take care of it, as good tenants do. They don't abuse and misuse the body. But also the body is necessary for attaining mukti. Mukti until we realize mukti, we need the body. That's an emphasis in all of his letters, or many of his letters. So the body has a very important place. This is also connected again with this advice in the Perubadesam to keep inquiring into the nature of the body. You know, for example, why don't we have hair on our foreheads? It's a very interesting research project, actually. So in any case, body has a very important place because it is the instrument of the soul. And as he says, without body, the soul will be in darkness. Remember again the first Vinappam and the second Vinappam all make it very clear what was our initial state. That is, before we came into any physical body, what was our state? So, one second here. As he says, let me turn the light on here. Yes, தாயினும் சிறந்த தயவுடை கடவுளே இயற்கையே அஞ்ஞான விருளில் அஞ்ஞான உருவில் அஞ்ஞானிகளாய் அஞ்ஞானத்தில் பயின்று ஏதும் தெரியாத கிடந்த எங்களை தேவரீர் பெருங்கருணையார் பௌதீக உடம்பில் சிறிதறிவு தோற்றிவிடுத்து. And in the next விண்ணப்பம், அறிவென்பது ஓர் சிறிதும் தோற்றாத அஞ்ஞானம் என்னும் பெரிய பாசாந்த காரத்தில் நெடுங்காலம் சிற்றணு பசுவாகி அருங்கிக் கிடந்த அடியனுக்குள் உள்ளொலியாகியிருந்து அண்ட் சோ ஃபோர்த். அப்பாசாந்த காலத்தை நின்றும் எடுத்து எல்லா பிறப்படங்களிலும் உயர்வடைத்தாகி ஆறு உள்ள மனித பிறப்படங்கள் என்னை விடுத்து அண்ட் சோ ஃபோர்த். ஸோ ஆர் இனிஷியல் கண்டிஷன் ஹேஸ் பீன் இக்னரன்ஸ். அண்ட் இஃப் யூ லுக் அட் ஸ்ரீ அரபிந்தோஸ் பிலாசபி, தேர் இஸ் எ கான்செப்ட் ஆஃப் தி இன்கான்ஷியன்ட். திஸ் இஸ் ஏபிஸ், டார்க் ஏபிஸ் ஆஃப் இக்னரன்ஸ். யூ சி, இட் இஸ் தேர் அண்ட் தட்ஸ் எக்ஸர்டிங் டவுன்வர்ட் புல். And we have to struggle against the pull of this ignorance. So we've come from there as a result of Aruparanjodhi and introduced, given a body. It clearly means that the transition to a body is the way to acquire knowledge. Otherwise we would still be in that endless state of ignorance. With there is, as he says, Aruvenbadu or Siridum Totra. There is not even a, you know, spark of intelligence there. So how did we come into this physical body, and of course various forms, as you know, and from the first Vinappam, is by the grace of Aruparanjodhi. So body is something absolutely central to the development of Arivu, you know, Anma Arivu. I mean, it is there, latent, and you have to manifest. The way you manifest it is in terms of the body with all these wonderful, mind-boggling, baffling aspects that Vallalar has described in the second petition. I mean, how can I think about your Peratro, and how can I thank you for your Perarul, or Perungarune, right? That is the constant refrain of Vallalar. So the relationship between brain and body, brain and soul, the relationship between the principle of intelligence and its instrument. So So, of course, you're going to pay very careful attention to the instrument. And if the instrument gets damaged, the principle cannot express itself. It is still there, but it will not be able to express or act. So, Valara himself gives the example. I mean, if you have kannadi, you know, if the kannadi breaks, your power of sight is still there, but it is you don't have the instrument which enhances it. So you have to get another instrument, repair it, and have another proper instrument so you can see better, you know. So in that sense, it's perfectly, it makes perfect sense why, for example, brain damage. If you have brain damage, the person's cognitive abilities cannot be expressed. They're latent in the soul, but they cannot be expressed in just the way if the glasses break, you cannot see through it. So body, again, is an instrument, including the brain, and needs to be cared for very carefully by any practitioner of Sudarshan Marga. There is no such thing as negligence, you know, and this is already covered in the Indriya Varpam part. I don't know if I've answered your question.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Raji, and I'm from USA. Thank you.
Yes, where are you?
I'm from USA, Philadelphia.
Oh, I see. Okay. It must be very cold. They're very cold there now.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your wonderful experiences and about the Jiva Karunya Olakkam, sir. It was really wonderful explanation about Jiva Karunya Olakkam. Like
thank you.
You already mentioned so many aspects, like, you know, even though the insects, we can't destroy them, just keep them away. That's really nice. I think that's a new thing we heard about today.
Thank
yeah.
you.
We never
hello?
Care about them. We care about the insects too. So that was really nice. And the Valalar, he was here. He was looking sad face because of the he was worried about the people only. That's why he looks sad face. Likewise, he was mentioned so many things about Valala's experience. And I have one question about you. Do you have any personal experience about Valala's presence? Any personal experience?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any personal experience about Valala's presence in your life?
Valala's what? That you were breaking up there. Valala's
presence in your life.
Presence, well, I mean, you know, I mean, all of whatever, if you have turned to Sudarshan Margam, that's already Valala's grace, you know. So you cannot turn to Sudarshan Margam without Valala's grace. And again, I say Valalar hyphenated Aruppur Jyoti, Valala's consciousness. Well, you know, there is an individual element to it, but it's one or in unity with Aruppur Jyoti. So, yeah, I mean, whatever, you know, we turn to Sudarshan Margam, that's already evidence that Valala's grace is operating. And, you know, I mean, I only think about making myself deserve it, you know.
Yeah, that's what.
I don't feel that I deserve it, and I want to try and make myself deserving of it. And, you know, I mean, as we continue with the Varkam and then the Karana Varkam and so forth, yeah, various experiences can come, especially with the worship of light. And this is something also I want to pursue, and I hope to, with Valalar's grace, make some posts in the blog. This yoga, as you can say, call it in Sudarshan Margam, which Valalar practiced from his early youth, if not childhood, is the Jyoti Yoga. You know, it's the yoga of light.
Mm-hmm.
And when you practice this yoga of light, worshipping the light in the lamp,
yeah.
And looking at it as symbol of divine light and so forth, various experiences happen, you know, especially when you also combine it with the Karana Varkam, you know, Mudalil, Purva Matil, Manadai Nirtha Seidal, Manadai Aruvakirudu Akkal, and so forth. You practice all that, you get complete confirmation of what are all of these states of consciousness and experiences that Vallalar has described in Aruperinjodhi Agavu, you know. But it has to, they have to mature, and one has to, again, observe them and understand them and so forth. You know, it's a long process. So all I can say simply is I feel Vallalar's presence in the fact that I'm getting more and more, absorbed, if I can use that word, in his teachings. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the answer, Doctor.
Yeah, and you can get my email from Mr. Sivasubramaniam, and feel free to send me your questions, because they help me, you know, to improve my understanding, you know. So feel free to do that if you would like to do so.
Yeah. And I have one more question. You said Omkara Mulai and Ankara Mulai. That's new thing we heard today.
I'm sorry?
Omkara Mulai. And the Ankara Mulai, you said, right? It was mentioned.
Yes. Yes, it's there in the second Vinappam. The second Vinappam has, extraordinary account of nature and the human body. And he mentions that. Ongara Mulai, I think, of course, we know if you go by the Tamil word, and of course more study needs to be done, Ongara Mulai is that part of the brain that helps you to have spiritual experiences. You know? Ongaram, you know, it's helps you to transcend. Angara Mulai, of course, is based on self, based on ego, you know. That's the one that we normally operate in terms of. Most of us, we don't cultivate the Angara Mulai, although it's there. We only cultivate the Angara Mulai with the Anava and stuff. But it's, I think that's basically the distinction. And as I said, I mean, requires a lot of study. Evidently, human beings have spiritual inclinations and spiritual experiences, and there must be a part of brain that enables these things. And I think that's what Ongara Mulai is all about.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, at this point, you know, I want to add a few points here. One is, I should thank Karthik Sodivel, you know, who actually introduced Dr. Til Raghu to me, and he gave his contact number. Thanks, Karthik. I think you were there in the call. But the presence, you know, Rajayama, you mentioned about the presence. So when I tried to contact our professor, the first time I contacted, right, you know, it was about 7 o'clock in the evening for him. And what he told was, he was at his desk in the college, and he was about to leave for the day. But, you know, just before, you know, he was thinking to leave, I gave that call. So, and then, you know, we established that connect. So that itself, you know, even doctor also mentioned that, you know, it is by divine grace that, you know, we are getting connected. So I would say, you know, as the professor also said, it's unless we have the divine blessing of Ruperumjodhi and Vallalar, we wouldn't have got into Sudarshan Margam. And, post to that, I'm sure all of us will have such, many instances where we can realize the presence of Vallalar and Ruperumjodhi. Okay. Anyone has any other questions?
I am Jaira. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your Sanmoha speech, sir. Thank you very much. We are delighted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, any questions, Mr. Sivasubramaniam has my email, and please feel free to contact me, you know. I'd like certainly to receive your questions. Now, Mr. Sivasubramaniam, you mentioned Karthik. Now, is this the same gentleman who contacted me recently by email? And you
No, he's different.
Yeah, he's now different. I think, in India, right? He's gone to Vadalur.
Correct. He has gone to Vadalur. Yes. And I have one more question. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, somebody else actually.
No, Prasanna, this is Gopi. I have a question to Dr. Dil. Hello, Dr. Dil. It was a wonderful speech. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So you were talking about
I always feel I'm only scratching the surface, you know. So, Okay.
Definitely. We can definitely feel the depth of knowledge you have, and I was also like looking at the topics that you have given on your papers. It was really amazing.
Thank you.
So my question is, you were talking about the seven categories of lives and Devar Naragar, right? Is Vallalar mentioning Devar as the Hindu Devargal that we know of, or is it something totally different?
Well, Vallalar has actually talked about this, you can call it quote-unquote supernaturalism or actually supranaturalism. It goes beyond nature as we know it. And that's why he says Devar and Naragar are not accessible to human beings in Jivakarunya Vargam. Well, the Devars, they include he also indicates, I think, that they don't have 10 legs and 40 arms and all that kind of stuff, That's all mythology. It's all imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But their essential concept is beings that have greater capacity of knowledge and greater capacity of action than human beings. That's why he says, with Devas, they have more capacity or capability than human beings, so therefore we don't have to worry about their hunger in Jivakarunya Vargam. But he says at least we have to think that they will also suffer from hunger and feel compassion. But they are able to take care of it by themselves. They don't need human help, and that indicates that, yes, you're talking about, you want to call it supernatural. I wouldn't say supernatural because they're also part of nature, but it's a higher order of nature. And Aurobindo, if you want to look at Aurobindo, he uses terms like supra-physical, something about the physical as we know it, and so forth. So it's super-physical nature, and they're part of that order. But that doesn't mean that you have these mythological beings, Ravana with 10 heads and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's all imagination. But they are, of course, other forms of beings who have greater, as I said, capacity for knowledge and action than human beings.
Could we compare the evolved souls, for example, some of the humans we hear, they've conquered hunger, sleep, and things like that, right? So they've kind of evolved compared to the normal human beings who have super powers compared to, it's not really superpowers, but compared to normal human beings, they are a little, elevated in terms of their senses and dimensions. Can we call them as Devars, or it's totally they are in a different dimension?
Are you talking about Munivar, Muttar, Siddhar, and so forth?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have accomplishments, spiritual accomplishments, but they're not Devar,
Okay.
Along category. I mean, they are Munivar and Muttar and so forth. They are spiritually enlightened beings.
Okay.
And in Jivakarunya Vargam, as he says, Devargal Manida Sudandratinam Merpatta Sudandramudiyavargalai Thangalukku Neritta Pasiyai Thangal Muyarchinalaye Maatrikolla Thakka Vallabha Mudiyavargal Adalal. So,
That's why I was questioning. I'm sorry to interrupt. Exactly why I was questioning, can humans be Devars? Because some of them have conquered their hunger, right?
Well, no, not really. He's actually mentions in Jivakarunyam that even those who have completely controlled their senses and everything else, human beings, like yogis, mm-hmm. great yogis and so forth, still, when they feel hungry, they are looking for food.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are still part of the human human's category.
But thank you. Thanks for your explanation.
Okay, anyone has any other questions? So if not, I will ask. Sorry, go ahead. Saranan, go ahead.
This is Saranan from Salem, Tamil Nadu.
Yes.
I want to compliment your talk that it was very enlightening.
Thank you.
And also, if you have some other some time in other days, you can talk about the transformation of the triple body, how progressively he achieved the state. That would be nice.
Yes, you know, that's, I mean, I mentioned this to Mr. Sivasubramaniam. I mean, that's really, I mean, the Valarar only gave some hints about it because it's completely, I mean, you know, it's even beyond the Devas. So even the Devas, you know, are subject to Maranam, and this is beyond that. So how can we human beings really completely understand? I mean, we have some idea, we can form some idea based on Valalar's, you know, verses in Aruparanjodhi and his statements in the Vinappam, and it's only to encourage us, motivate us, you know, that's the, that is the kind of siddhi we are aiming at. But he says mutti is the means to siddhi. So first of all, we have to get to mutti. And that, of course, requires jivakarnya vorkam and then anmanaya vormai padu. So it's you know, it's very high. It's the end of the journey, so to speak. And it's not in our hands. It's not something that we can do. It's something that Arul does. And first of all, I think Valalar says we have to make ourselves qualified for Arul. So I think that's where, you know, there's a problem with, you know, even Sri Aurobindo was talking about supramentalization and all that. Many of his disciples just start talking about it. And, you know, it's all just simply talking about it. And then they get confused when Sri Aurobindo himself passed away, you know. We don't want to get into all that, which is really taking us away from the task at hand. The task at hand is to practice Jivakarnya Vorkam, which doesn't mean that, well, I mean, there are different levels here. If you're a householder, and Valalar, of course, accepts the legitimacy of householder life, the life with, you know, marriage and children, he accepts that. And in fact, one of the letters to Irukkam Ratna Mudaliyar, who was going to remarry, he says that as long as, you know, I mean, if it is the divine will that you have to enjoy something at a certain time and place, you will do it, you know, you will have that enjoyment. And the bogam is, you know, Suttasanmargam is not an ascetic path. So, you know, bogam has its legitimacy. As long as it's not contrary to Jivakarunya Vorkam, bogam is fine. But in any case, you know, I don't want to wander off the question. The point, I think, is that this is all in the much higher levels, and I think let us simply focus on Jivakarunya Vorkam and Anmanaya Vormai Padu. But yeah, we can get some clarification, and it would be good, I think, to put together Valalar's verses as well as basically the Vinappam statements and Jivakarunya Vorkam, where he has explained, you know, well, he has given an idea of what this is. And this is unique, actually. So, you know, you are correct in pointing at this because this is something unique. I don't think you have this in any other religious or spiritual tradition. The notion, this ideal of the Tridega Siddhi is completely unique to Valalar and Suttasanmargam. Certainly, yes, it
used
to be.
Yes, I was mentioning because my grandfather, he was a professor in botany in Annamalai University in the early 70s. So he had tried to explain this this transformation siddhis by having close associates with the disciples in the Valalar's lineage. So that Gopi knows well that it is called as Introduction to St. Ramalinga Philosophy, and his name is Dr. Srinivasan. So I thought that you could extend it further in depth with this work.
Well, I can only go by what Valalar himself has said. Yeah, I have that. I have a copy, I believe, of that book. You know, I mentioned to Mr. Sivasubramaniam that, you know, sometimes I think it can be, you know, people may read about it and think that it's something that they want to achieve. And they may, if there is grace. But again, understanding what it is, again, requires a lot of study. I was mentioning to Mr. Sivasubramaniam, for instance, Maranamil after Varvi, you know, what does that involve? I mean, it has many levels. One level that we can understand is indicated by a verse in Aruppurunjodhi Agaval. Marana Perumbini Varavage Megu Karana Perundiral Kattiya Marunde. That means that it is a great power or capability of consciousness, karam, mind instruments, inner instruments, that was shown by Aruppurunjodhi to overcome the experience of dying. The experience of dying is attended by unconsciousness, confusion of mind, and so forth, in addition to whatever physical things are happening, you know, breath may be coming to a stop and so forth. And Marnamula Peruvar involves the conquest of this kind of thing. In other words, you consciously exit the body without any kind of confusion of mind or loss of consciousness. That is also part of this conquest of death that he is talking about. So it has many levels. The transformation of the physical body into a pure body, Sutta Dehama, it's all, you know, beyond this level. But at least we can relate to this point that you achieve a state as a result of this practice of Jiva Karanyam and realization of Anmaneya Urmaipadu, which will, and the workams, you know, Indriya Workam, Karana Workam, Jiva Workam, and Anma Workam, you can at least hope to get to that state where you will not experience the usual things associated with dying. You know, I wasn't there with the Swami Sarvanananda, but perhaps some of you can contact his relative, who I met actually in Dindukal in August. I went there in to the Satyanyana Kotam in Dindukal. Maybe he may be able to say something about the last days of Swami Sarvanananda, you know. I don't know what it was like. I went to the Samadhi and paid my respects to Sarvanananda. Certainly a great opponent and you know, jnani in Sutta Sanmargam, but that's also something we have to keep in mind, and maybe we can relate more to that. You know, it's more feasible for us to try to reach the state where we are not overwhelmed by the experience of dying, rather than imagine that we are going to transform this physical body into Sutta Degam and so forth. You know, that's all kind of like fantasy. So that would be my view. I mean, we try to understand what is within our range, and there is already a lot there, you know, to accomplish. And one lifetime may not be enough even for that. So that's my response. But we certainly need to understand, as you point out, what this concept of Tridega Siddhi is, because that is the highest achievement. It's the highest achievement.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, Dr. Sutil, this is Gopi again. Do you have time for more questions?
Yes, I have time. Thank you.
So, Jiva Karanyam is something that Vallalar is contributing to a lot, right? That everybody should do and transform themselves into a compassionate being. And with our limited, I wouldn't say limited, but with our lifestyle here in U.S., we can think about that, and we can help others to a certain extent, not like in India, where we can give food on a daily basis and things like that. So, do you, or would you have some kind of tips for US, you know, residents, like how we can increase our Jiva Karunya act?
That's an excellent question.
For example, sometimes, like, you know, we go to Second Harvest and, you know, do some help there. Packing foods and things like that. I mean, that's one of the examples. But comparatively in India, like, you know, we can feed a lot of people and then things like that, right? So just trying to get your thoughts on that.
No, you're, it's an excellent point and question. See, India gives great opportunities for the development of Jiva Karanyam, you know. That's, you know, again, that's the other aspect. I mean, Vallalar himself says Pasi also is a Karuvi given by Aruppurunjodhi. You know, all these Jivargal who are suffering, as he says, are suffering because of their violation of Jiva Karunyam in previous births. So that's the law of karma. But it's not just karma. He also mentions ajakrade. And he also mentions Maya's jalam, you know, Maya and jalam. That means, and again, Maya here is used in Saiva Siddhanta sense of matter. So it also comes from these, the origin of these sufferings also in the nature of matter itself. It's finite, it decomposes, and then all kinds of, when he speaks of jalam, he's speaking of random things that happen. So the sufferings come primarily, of course, from karma, but they can also be caused by ajakrade and also the nature of the physical, you know, reality. But, you know, these sufferings are also opportunities for us to, are great opportunities for developing compassion, and that's why India, you know, is a great place for that. Maybe that's why it's called Punya Bhumi and spiritual land and so forth. And in fact, all the sufferings paradoxically help the spirituality, you know, if people can relate to it in the right way. But the U.S. culture and Western culture, I think, is now taking some really horrible, really dangerous forms, dangerous in terms of development of compassion. There's a kind of inhumanity, insensitivity that's spreading, you know. It was not always there, but it seems to be spreading with more and more technology. You know, it's like a machine-like thing. And there's a kind of inhumanity and insensitivity that comes with it. People are relating, you know, more and more to machines, you know, mobile device, texting and all that. There have been many studies showing that this is diminishing their ability to have empathy and to have face-to-face interaction in a positive way. For instance, there was a study of teenager suicides in the U.S., and the analyst said one of the contributing factors is these teenagers spend so much time on Facebook and all this kind of stuff instead of having face-to-face contact. And so that creates some psychological issues, you know, isolation and alienation and loneliness and so forth, inability to relate to other people. And these things, by the way, are overcome when we practice Jiva Karunya work. You know, it really overcomes all of these hindrances. So there are those kinds of issues. And then again, the violence, gun violence, U.S. Is off the charts in gun violence. There's no other society that has this kind of, you know, gun violence and the gun culture. You know, it goes back to 19th century cowboy culture and all that stuff. And you can see it in Hollywood movies and so forth, which is also spreading to India. The virus is also spreading there. All this collectively has, as well as this culture of selfishness, you know, selfishness, makes some really strong obstacles, very powerful obstacles to cultivating compassion. And, you know, expressing and practicing it. You may even try to reach out in compassion, but you may get a very negative reaction to it. Of course, in Sudarshan Margam, you're not going to be disturbed by that sort of thing, you know. So when we practice compassion, we are not going to be expecting that other people will recognize and acknowledge it, because we're not really doing it for the sake of recognition from others. We're doing it in obedience to Vallalar's teachings and to the will of our Paranjyoti. So whether people praise us or condemn us is not our concern, and we shouldn't be. Otherwise, then, you know, mind gets disturbed and you can get disoriented and so forth. So, again, there are some serious obstacles, but you can, you know, volunteer. You can practice it in terms of vegetarianism. I've been a vegetarian all my life. When I was in Canada, you know, finishing my education, often people used to tell me, oh, you're now in Canada, you know, you have to start eating meat and all that stuff. And I said, no, I'm not going to eat meat. And, you know, I've not had any issues at all with that. I completely avoid animal products, even cheese, for instance. I look for vegetable rennet rather than animal rennet. By the way, milk and all that is consistent with, well, this is also another important point which perhaps needs to be addressed in another session, is the diet, you know, in Sutta Sanmargam, and the herbal medicine. You know, Valalar was compiled a treatise on herbal medicine, you know, again, testifying to his, you know, again, let's remember, I mean, again, for myself, speaking for myself or speaking to myself, Valalar had no formal education, and it's extraordinary that he was able to design the structure of Satyanayana Sabha, you know, and that's a wonderful building. You know, the original design is very simple and extremely beautiful in its simplicity. Kripananda Variyar came and then later made some additions, you know, but if you look at the original thing, and there is a picture of it, I think, in Tulsiram's website. You know, without formal education, he did that. And then he also compiled a treatise on herbs and their effects, and then the diet. Wonderful, wonderful things, I mean, in his teachings, you know. Spend a lifetime after lifetime studying these things and trying to practice them. But in any case, at least we can... that we can practice diet, you know, or vegetarianism, and we can, again, the science of it is part of the Visaram of Sutta Sanmargam. We are not going to just simply say, oh, yeah, just be vegetarian because it's bad to kill animals or eat animal flesh, but we also want to understand the science of nutrition and understand the science of nutrition underlying vegetarianism. And the harmful effects that have been well documented by scientific studies of meat eating and so forth, you know. So those are all some of the way avenues that are available, you know, volunteering and so forth, participating in education projects on Valalar's teachings, education of children and so forth, about all this horrible violence and its effects, gun violence. So various ways in which we have to practice, I think. There may not be those direct, immediately available means that you point out to be there in India. Although even in India, you know, so many people, they just walk and ignore all these sufferings. And Valalar has a very good explanation of that also in Jiva Gandhi Urukam. But anyway, sorry to go on and on here, but in short, I would say there are very severe obstacles to practicing Jiva Karnya Workam in the United States because of all these cultural factors, but they can be overcome, you know, and they must be overcome.
Thank you, Dr. Zilla.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if I managed to address your question or not.
Yes, you did. I mean, I can understand the difficulties that we have here compared to if we would live in India in practicing Jiva Karunya. But again, like Valalar has also said that, you know, sometimes even if you think that you have to do, even if you're not able to do, that itself is an act of Jiva Karunya. So I think you answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gopi. And thank you so much, Doctor. So with this, you know, we'll I just want to thank you once, and after that we will have the petition reading and then the Jodi song. So vote of thanks, sir. Today we had an excellent discourse and thoughts by Professor Dr. Til Raghu. On behalf of Valalar Universal Mission USA and the participants, we wholeheartedly thank our doctor. And Valalar Mission welcomes the suggestions by Professor, and we will certainly take them as inputs, and we will make it as part of our mission in the future. We wish and pray to Lord Almighty Aruperum Jodi, the most merciful, to shower all the grace and give a deathless life to our brother and Dr. Til Raghu. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great pleasure to be here with fellow Sanmargis, and I hope this community building of Sanmarga Sangam, Sutta Sanmarga Sangam, will continue, sir. And I wish you the best, and I look forward to being updated on all the developments.
Sure.
Really to develop this Suddha Sanmarga Sangam in the United States and the West. Of course, India too, of course.
Thank you so much. We'll definitely do that. Thank you. And I request Raji Amma to read the petition. Satya Suddha Sanmarga Satya petition.
Okay. Thank you, Krishna. Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparan Karanai, Aruparanjodi. Uttiranyana Siddhipuram allies of, and Uttiranyana Siddhamparam allies of, and by Tiruvarul, the names that are sounded as things can do special names of, and Parvathipuram allies Vadalur of, and the names that were given as nicknames to refer to of, having those names pronounced as starring Godpadi, in that the natural revealing of fullness is a pure Sivanubhava, Jnanasabai, in that wearing that natural truth filled God form, the natural bliss filled Sivananda, one's holy dance performing just for all the life forces to get the joys of showered. Everything can do unique head of the God Aruparanjodi. O the God, O the Highness to your holy community, I am submitting my Samarasa Suddha Sanmarga Sangha Satya petition. In this world, six sense superlative body that I got of, I am for this body, often and often is suffered by such as deathness, disease, aging, fear, and the pain. And to cure all of these sufferings, make this body itself, it becomes Nitya body, so that it, whichever times, in whatever places, in any manner, and in any way, without any obstacles, I should be able to live by getting the blissful Siddhi. Great life is what the true, strong and huge effort of my desire. In this effort of my desire, like all the sufferings be cured, and making this body itself Nitya, Nitya body, so that forever undestroyable blissful, great city life could be attained, and what way it could be possible, like when I started thinking about that time, no other way one should be getting this, and all can do, God's freedom is the only one way one could achieve this, and I came to know as it was announced by Tiruvarul. After that, what way we could get God's freedom, like when I started thinking that time, mind and I of body freedom, bhoga freedom and jiva freedom, and all these three things should be eliminated in that time only. You get that? And I came to know as it was announced by the Highness Tiruvarul. Hence holding that are being my freedom, such as body freedom, bhoga freedom and jiva freedom, and all surrender to the Highness Tiruvarul and his full freedom given up that time. This body, the jivan and the bhoga things and all are only given by the fully freedom God of great mercy, and other than that, it's not of our freedom that we hold. So this truth I came to know as it was revealed by Tiruvarul. Hearing after from this body and from this jivan and from this bhoga thing, by the evidence of Tiruvarul, none of these freedoms would be appeared as my freedoms. The Highness put forth the Tiruvarul freedom to me and blessed to cure the sufferings of this deathness, disease, aging, fear and the pain, and making this body itself Nitya body. And I should be able to live forever undestroyable and forever blissful great Siddhi life. Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparangarnai, Aruparanjodi. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Wonderful, wonderful translation. Thank you.
Doctor, I have a question. So, Doctor, you know, as a custom in our meetings, so the speaker themselves actually sing the Jodi song. Would you be able to sing that for today?
Well, you know, I have not yet attained that siddhi. Let me put it that way. So I'm praying for that. You know, although I have musical instruments, but you know, not singing. So maybe Raji can, you know, she has a very good voice. Maybe she herself can also, you know, she can sing.
Sure, definitely. Okay. So Rajima, you can sing the Jodi song.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your wonderful compliment. Thanks a lot. Jodi, Jodi, Jodi Suyam. Jodi, Jodi, Jodi Param. Jodi, Jodi, Jodi Arul. Jodi, Jodi, Jodi Sivam. Vama Jodi, Soma Jodi, Vana Jodi, Jnana Jodi. Magha Jodi, Yoga Jodi, Vada Jodi, Nada Jodi. Yema Jodi, Vyoma Jodi, Era Jodi, Vira Jodi. Yega Jodi, Yega Jodi, Yega Jodi, Yega Jodi. Adi Needi Vedane, Adil Needi Padane, Vadi Jnana Podane, Valga Valga Nadane, Aruppirun Jodi, Aruppirun Jodi, Tanippirun Karune, Aruppirun Jodi.
வாழி இனை தூக்கி வைத்த கரதலங்கள் வாழி எல்லாம் வல்ல மணிமன்றம் வாழி நடம் வாழி அருட்ஜோதி வாழி நடராயன் வாழி சிவஞான வழி அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி தனிப்பெரும் கருணை அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி எல்லா உயிர்களும் இன்புற்று வாழ்க கொல்லாவிரதம் குவளையமெல்லாம் ஓங்குக வள்ளல் மலரடி வாழ்க வாழ்க சத்குருநாதா சத்குருநாதா சன்மார்க்க சங்கம் தலைக்க அருள் தாத்தா அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி தனிப்பெரும் கருணை அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி திருச்சிற்றம்பலம் நன்றி Thank you everyone. Thanks for participating. Thanks doctor.
Thank you. Yeah, please include me in any you know mailing list that you may have, you know. I'd like to keep in touch with the other members of the Sangam.
Definitely sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you sir.
Thank you.